Okay. Before we go on to United States versus McIntosh, our last case of the day. So, come on up, Mr. Levine, when you are ready.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
My name is Jeff Levine, and I represent Carlton McIntosh. How are you, Judge?
Hello, Mr. Levine, 25 years later.
An honor and a pleasure, Your Honor.
I don't know him. I knew Mr. Levine when he was an infant lawyer.
When my clothes fit.
He tried his first case in front of me.
My first two cases in front of you.
Yeah, first two. Oh, lucky you.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
It's been downhill since there, Judge.
A little bit.
Carlton McIntosh was on a sentence, a 60-month sentence, a sentence for escape. He on supervised release, he was sent back. He did a portion of a sentence. He was sent back to prison. He came back, and the government sought to revoke his supervised release again. At that point, he had served 55 months of an escape sentence, which the maximum sentence is 60 months. Developing law in the Supreme Court has held that revocation penalties are part of the penalty for the sentence, that it's not separate. In Apprendi, and starting approximately about 10 years ago, Apprendi, if it exceeds the prescribed statutory penalty, a defendant must have constitutional rights. He has to have a jury, must have proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, in usual cases with supervised release, it's very rare to sentence someone to a maximum term or for them to serve it. They usually serve a portion of the term, and then if something goes wrong, it comes back on supervised release. This is a rare instance where Mr. McIntosh had served 55 months of the 60-month maximum.
Yeah, he keeps breaking the supervised release rule. That's why he keeps coming back.
There's no question that he has difficulties with which is why we're here, which is why.
See, now, here's the thing. How is there an Apprendi violation where the original sentence contemplated 36 months of supervised release, which, depending on his conduct, would be served on release or by re-imprisonment if he violated the terms of the release? So he violates every term of the release.
Well, look, the other possibility is he could be violated through eternity at this point if he keeps getting resentenced under supervised release.
No, there's a limit. Isn't the only limit here that the reincarcerations and the subsequent supervised release cannot exceed the original 36 months?
I think what Apprendi and what Blakely, I think what the Supreme Court is saying is that because because there are constitutional implications that become involved after the term of the full sentence, the mandatory sentence, that these, as indicated by Apprendi, as indicated by Blakely, these are now, this now becomes a problem once he is incarcerated for the full period of the sentence.
See, you're equating the imprisonment for the violation of supervised relief as part of the maximum incarceration for the original offense. But isn't the more relevant focus the maximum supervised release for the original offense, which, once again, depending on his behavior, may be served in or out of prison. And since he's a very bad boy,
allegedly,
it would seem, allegedly, Not anymore, because the district court found that he violated the terms.
Yes, they did. What I'm doing, I'm following Johnson. I'm following Johnson, which says that the revocation penalties are part of the penalty for the sentence. The sentence maxes out at 60 months. Once you're over that maximum amount, then the constitutional requirements kick in of a jury and proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And in this case, the issue of whether there was obviously not, the government did not have proof beyond a reasonable doubt with regard to these claimed violations. They were conjecture. They were saying, yeah, someone did it. I think that Judge Palmer even said, well, someone did it with regard to use of the credit card and use of the government had nowhere near the amount of evidence to go forward, which they could have done with a new complaint and charged him under that. Now, it's difficult to know what the Supreme Court is thinking up there. It's difficult to, you know, well, you said this, and you said this, and you seem to be saying that you can't, if this is part of the sentence and this is the maximum term, constitutional rights kick in after the maximum term. It's our position that after he served the 60 months, they would have to either re-indict him or prove the violations by a jury or proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Your argument would make supervised release ineffective for anybody who got the term of imprisonment close to or at the statutory maximum, because there's no way to enforce a violation.
Correct. Correct. That if they want to put them back in jail, they have to charge them, recharge them with a new crime and the constitutional rights of proof beyond a reasonable doubt and a jury.
But the principle that violations of supervised release are not considered a new crime, but they are part of the original punishment scheme, doesn't mean that the prison sanction for violation of supervised release terms is part of the maximum term of imprisonment in the bifurcated sentencing scheme that the federal criminal code sets up. That those are two different things. The maximum imprisonment term.
Maximum penalty.
Yeah. Well, the maximum penalty meaning the amount of prison that the defendant is exposed to for the violation. That's the Apprendi rule. That's the focus of the Apprendi rule. That's the maximum term of imprisonment that attaches to the commission of the original crime, not the sanction for violating terms of supervised release, which is treated as just that, a sanction for violating the supervised release term.
Well,
not as either a new crime or part of the original term that the defendant faces for the criminal offense.
There's no question that re-imprisoning someone is a penalty.
Right.
Okay, and the statutes provide for the maximum penalty, and as the progression of the Supreme Court decisions are evolving, over the last 10 years, it appears that when you want to increase the penalty, as we learned in Apprendi and Blakely, when you want to increase the penalty, you now...
Right, but the use of that term in the Apprendi line of cases focuses on the maximum term of imprisonment that the statute allows for the charged offense, not the back-end sanctions for violation of supervised release terms.
I'm arguing.
Yeah, I mean, that would be... You're arguing... The point is that you're arguing a very significant expansion of the Apprendi line of cases beyond what I think they contemplate.
I think it's consistent with my position is it's consistent with Johnson, Blakely, and the line of cases that if you're going to increase penalties, you're going to have constitutional protections.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Flanagan. But before, as you come up, I just want to thank Ms. Bonamici. That was so thoughtful of you to open the door for Mr. Maxim. Thank you. I don't know. Okay.
May it please the court.
Mr. Flanagan.
Good morning. My name is Peter Flanagan. I represent the United States.
What was the maximum term of supervised release authorized by statute for the original escape offense?
3 years. As a Class D felony. He was under 3583 A and B, the federal sentencing statute. Your Honors, the district court properly sentenced the defendant to 16 months imprisonment for his multiple release violation. The court was statutorily authorized under Section 3583E3 to re-imprison the defendant for up to a period of 2 years. That authority was ultimately derived from the defendant's original sentence, which contemplated and provided for both supervised release and a range of sanctions in the event he violated the terms of that supervised release.
The original sentence had imposed a term of 2 years supervised release, but the statute authorized 3, as it does. Would the district court in a revocation proceeding be limited by the actual sentence of 2 years, or could the court impose a term of imprisonment above that as long as it was less than the 3-year statutory maximum?
Your Honor, I believe the district court would be able to sentence up to a period of 2 years, regardless of the time of the original supervised release. I would reference 3583H, which sets amount of time of re-imprisonment the amount of supervised release that could be imposed after re-imprisonment, which would that does take account for the amount of supervised release originally imposed, and then as well as imprisonment. Your Honor,
but it maxes out at the term of supervised release authorized by statute.
So, authorized by statute, which...
That's what the court has to work with, but it has to be reduced by whatever was imposed the last time around.
Right. Had the district court sentenced less than the statutory maximum term of supervised release of 3 years to only 2 years, as in Judge Rovner's hypothetical, and then was looking to sentence the defendant to additional term of supervised release after re-imprisonment.
Right.
The reference point would be the statutory maximum rather than the amount of supervised release imposed.
But reduced by previous terms.
Reduced by previous terms of re-imprisonment.
Right.
So does that have to be how much time he served or how much time he was sentenced for supervised release?
How much time actually served in re-imprisonment under?
Well, I mean, he's re-imprisoned, then he breaks the terms during some period of time. If he had whatever it was that first time, 22 months of supervised release, but if he breached it in 10 months, is that other 12? He's got 6 months left to supervise release, as I understand it. Is that right?
That's right. After the amended order.
He can't get any more than... That's all that's left for supervised
release. That's all that's left for supervised release.
So he manages to stay out of trouble for the 6 months after he gets out. Then it's got to be a new crime proven.
That's right, Your Honor. That's right, Your Honor. And that goes to, in response to defendant's contention that he could be revoked and sentenced to re-imprisonment, you know, for eternity. That's not the case. There's only so much. It's actually capped by 3583H, which limits the amount of time he can be on supervised release. So while he can receive up to 2 years re-imprisonment upon each revocation, there's only so much time he can spend on supervised release, and for each period of re-imprisonment that he's sentenced to is credited against the time of supervised release.
So if he violates on the 180th day that he's out on the streets during his 6 months of supervised release that has been reimposed here, he's subject to 2 years imprisonment, but no more supervised release, as I understand it. Right?
That's the government's understanding as well, Your Honor, as Congress intended.
Okay. So no street time credit, but you get credit for imprisonment.
Yeah, no credit for the time he served without incident.
How much more time does he have in right now?
In re-imprisonment? His release date, I believe, is February 17 of 2011. That's right. So when he gets out at that point, he will be subject to 6 more months of supervised release.
He has to behave for 6 months.
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honor, at bottom, the defendant received all the Apprendi protections to which he was entitled at the time of original sentencing. His term of supervised release and the subsequent sanctions that followed, including his current term of re-imprisonment, all sprang from that original sentence. Because his term is well within the two-year statutory maximum set forth in the federal sentencing statute, the district court's judgment should be affirmed. And unless the court has further questions for me, I ask that you do so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Which time? We'll give you two.
I don't even need it. Two things. One, I want to reassert my motion for release pending the result, pending the decision. And secondly, I want to alert the court that Mr. McIntosh is presently awaiting trial on an escape charge for not appearing in this matter. So he's been reindicted by the government on an escape charge for not appearing for his sentence in this manner, believing it to be unconstitutional.
And if we disagree with you, how much time will we have to, and he's found guilty?
On the escape charge? I don't think he will be, but...
No. But what would he be sentenced to?
Again, escape is 60-month mandatory, I believe.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
We'll take the case under advisement, and the court will be in recess until...